This is DW News live from Berlin. EU leaders say lifting vaccine patents won't be a magic bullet in the coronavirus pandemic. They've held the second day of talks and are pushing the United States for a concrete plan. India's Prime Minister joined them via video link. Dozens are killed in multiple explosions near a school in the Afghan capital. Most of the victims are female students aged between 11 and 15. Authorities in Kabul warn the death toll is likely to rise. And in Bundesliga football, Bayern Munich have won their ninth straight league title with 2 weeks to spare. The Bavarians celebrated after crushing Gladbach on Saturday evening. Hello, I'm Rahila Mohammed. EU leaders have wrapped up a two-day summit dominated by the COVID-19 crisis in India. They agreed to restart trade talks with Delhi, but there are divisions over a US proposal to waive patents on coronavirus vaccines.
Heads of state and government gathered in spring sunshine in the Portuguese city of Porto. Uppermost in everyone's minds, the relentlessly rising death toll in India.
The European Union stands in full solidarity with India at this critical time. We already activated help mechanisms and we are ready to provide further support.
EU leaders agreed to resume negotiations on a free trade deal with India. The talks broke down 8 years ago. Also dominating proceedings, a controversial US proposal to lift patents on COVID-19 vaccines. India strongly supports the idea as a means of opening up new sources of production. But bigger EU states oppose the plan. They want to ramp up their own output instead. I do not believe that giving away patents is the solution to making vaccines available to more people. We need the creativity and innovation of those firms, and that is why I believe in patent protection. Some member states also criticize the US and Britain for stockpiling vaccines. Before liberalizing vaccines, other simpler things should be done, such as removing the export block that the US and the UK continue to maintain. Bear in mind that the EU exports as much vaccine as it gives to its own citizens. As the summit wraps up, Europe is passing the ball back to the US, challenging Washington to come up with concrete plans for waiving vaccine patents and to start exporting much-needed jabs beyond its own borders.
And DW Brussels Bureau Chief Alexander von Naman has been following the summit for us in Porto and sent this update.
I think it was very telling that both sides, the European Union and India, praised their summit as a pivotal moment, a moment of geopolitical importance. They showed that they were determined and willing to deepen their partnership and to boost cooperation in many key areas, including climate change, digitalization, and of course trade. The announcement to restart negotiations on a free trade agreement. This announcement was very important for the European Union, of course, because they want to have a better access to the market in India, and they also would like to see tariffs on European products reduce. But we have to add that the trade policy will be the true test over whether both sides are really able to improve their relations. COVID-19 was also on the agenda, no doubt about that, and the European Union made clear that they want to help India. However, they also stressed that they think that India's proposal to lift intellectual property rights on vaccines is not going to be the silver bullet to improve the situation on the ground. They are saying that instead it is very important to increase vaccine production, and they also calling on other nations, Western nations, to export more vaccines.
That's Alexandra von Namen there. Well, here are some other stories making headlines around the world. Fighting between militants and government troops have resumed in Ethiopia's Tigray region. International food aid convoys were unable to reach civilians after the military blocked a major road. The head of Ethiopia's Orthodox Church has accused the government of carnage in the six-month conflict. Israel has bolstered its security forces in East Jerusalem ahead of expected disturbances following a night of clashes between Palestinians and Israeli police. Thousands of Muslim worshippers gathered Saturday evening at the Al-Aqsa Mosque for the holiest night of Ramadan. More than 200 people were injured in Friday's clashes. At least 40 people have been killed and many more injured in multiple explosions near a school in Kabul. It happened in the largely Shia Muslim neighborhood that has faced attacks by the so-called Islamic State in recent years. No group has claimed responsibility so far for this attack. Afghanistan's president is blaming the Taliban. It has denied the attack, instead pointing the blame at IS militants.
Just hours before, there were school children preparing for the future. Now their covered bodies lie on a hospital floor. It is a sight that has become all too common in Afghanistan. Multiple blasts went off outside the Syed al-Shahda school in western Kabul as lessons ended for the day. Many of the children killed would have been on their way home to break the Ramadan fast with their families. I was with my classmate. We were leaving school when suddenly an explosion happened. My classmate was killed. 10 minutes later, another explosion, and then a third one. Everyone was screaming and there was blood everywhere. I couldn't see anything clearly. The attack comes just 8 days after a truck bomb at a university entrance south of Kabul left 27 people dead.
Now, remnants of China's largest rocket is set to plunge back through the Earth's atmosphere in a mission that's being closely watched by international experts. The rockets carry the core part of China's future space station. The Chinese government says most of the debris will burn up on re-entry and is very unlikely to smash onto the ground. But U.S. experts warn that potentially dangerous debris could escape incineration, and it's impossible to pinpoint where it'll land. Well, let's talk to Jonathan McDowell, an astronomer at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you very much indeed, sir, for being with us here on DW News. So tell us more about this massive chunk of metal plunging back to Earth. How big of a concern is this?
You know, it's a moderate concern. Individual people shouldn't be panicked because the chance that it's going to hit them is really small. But we did see the last time this type of rocket was launched, large chunks of metal crash at hundreds of miles an hour into the Ivory Coast, damaging a couple of buildings and really scaring people. So probably because so much of the world is water, this will fall in the ocean, but there's a significant chance that it won't. And so we are tracking this very closely.
Do we know where it's heading exactly?
So we're starting to get an idea. So we believe it's going to come down sometime between 23 hours and 9 hours Greenwich Mean Time, and that's four orbits of the Earth. So it goes all the way around the Earth four times during that time. And so we can say some areas now, like the western United States or like China, in fact, are no longer under the potential track of this rocket. But there's a lot of other countries that still are. So it won't really be until after it crashes that we can really figure out where it came down.
And you also mentioned previous cases, like you said, in Ivory Coast. So there have been similar cases where debris has crashed back to Earth. Is there anything that can be done to prevent any large-scale damage in this case?
Not in this case. It's too late. It's going to come down where it's going to come down. It's going at 18,000 miles an hour, 28,000 kilometers an hour around the Earth. It's about 150 kilometers up right now. It's going to burst into flame, break apart. The debris, probably about a ton, might survive re-entry. And there's really nothing you can do about it. All we can do is try and persuade China that before the next launch of this type of rocket, they change the design to be more like what other countries do for their big rockets and make sure that this stage does not go into orbit.
Is there regulation on how to mitigate space debris, if any?
You know, there's no law, right, but there are some guidelines that most countries adopt in terms of how long you should let your space debris stay in orbit, where it can be. But there's no rule right now about not letting big things fall out of orbit. And I think there really needs to be. There is a liability convention. If your rocket falls on me, my country can get compensation from you. But that's as far as it goes right now.
All right. That is Jonathan McDowell from the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
To some football news now, and Bayern Munich are Bundesliga champions for a record 9th time in a row. Their title was confirmed before they had even kicked a ball on Saturday, as Dortmund beat second-placed Leipzig earlier in the day. It now means that Bayern have wrapped things up with 2 games left to play and given a perfect send-off to coach Hansi Flick, who is to leave the club at the end of the season. And that saw the champions in a relaxed mood against Mönchengladbach, which spelled bad news for the visitors, especially with Bayern's lethal striker chasing a record of his own.
In Munich, 9 was the magic number. Bayern's 9th straight title was in the bag before kickoff, while up front, their number 9, Robert Lewandowski, was on a personal quest to break Gerd Müller's record of 40 league goals in a single season. The Polish predator scented blood, and he pounced after just 2 minutes for goal 37 of the campaign. Gladbach still harbour hopes of European football next season. No wonder they were so frustrated when Thomas Müller's weak shot squeezed in. 2-0 Bayern. On 34 minutes, Lewandowski notched up his second. A sumptuous volley for goal number 38. Then the Pole showed his unselfish side to set up Kingsley Coman, and Bayern were 4 up going into the break. Goal 39 arrived for Lewandowski from the spot on 66 minutes, and even Tongi Nionzu's red card couldn't stem the flow of goals. Though this time it wasn't Lewandowski. Leroy Sané rounded off a humiliating defeat for Gladbach on 86 minutes, before Bayern got the celebrations started. It was as much a farewell to Hansi Flick as it was a championship party. The coach signs off in style, ending his brief stint in charge with a 7th trophy to his name.
And there's nothing new about Bayern Munich winning the Bundesliga title, and everyone saw it coming. Here's a look back at how they did it this season.
Coach Hansi Flick was unable to repeat Bayern's prolific trophy haul from last season. And an apparent rift with his superiors likely brought his time at the club to a premature end. But on the pitch, it was business as usual. Bayern demolished Schalke 8-0 in their opening game of the season. Robert Lewandowski proved once again his nose for goals. He's well on his way to set a new Bundesliga goal record. And yet so much about the season was unusual. The coronavirus pandemic meant that most games were played without spectators. And there was nothing normal about Bayern losing 4-1 to Hoffenheim earlier in the season. The champions responded, however, in typical fashion by going 12 games unbeaten. It would be January before their next defeat at Borussia Mönchengladbach. Their form was never quite as imperious as in the first half of the season, but they won when it mattered. A 1-0 victory at Leipzig in early April all but put an end to the hopes of their closest challengers. Even Flick's surprise announcement that he would leave didn't dent his players' winning mentality. And once again, they wrapped things up with games to spare. For Flick, it's Auf Wiedersehen Bayern. And with the position of national coach soon to be vacant, could it be Guten Tag, Germany?
And in motor racing, 7-time world champion Lewis Hamilton claims his 100th career pole position for Sunday's Spanish Grand Prix. The first Formula One driver is to do so. The Mercedes ace edged out Red Bull's Max Verstappen. Hamilton leads the Formula One standings by 8 points going into the 4th race of the season. You're watching DW News from Berlin. Coming up next is our tech show, taking a look at robotic suits. I'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.